You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast. It's The Punt with Dave Callner, Lee Phelps and Derek McGovern in situ for this weekend's Premier League. 10 live games to cover here on the programme. And first of all, a warm welcome to Mr. Lee Phelps. How are you doing, Lee?
I'm very good, thank you. Looking forward to this. Premier League back after the international break.
Which is always a good thing, Derek.
It is indeed, yeah. At least in the Premier League, we know something about the losers we're tipping.
Very good point. I should tell you what, the strangest thing about the international break was we found Robbie Savage's niche. Robbie Savage, Derek, put up a 40-1 scorecast, a 14-1 scorecast, an 11-2 correct score, and an 8-1 correct score over the break, and just the home nations games. We found his niche.
Mm. They all won.
Yeah. Lewandowski 2-2. He was in that first game.
I think he was riding Lewandowski, Derek.
Which is right. Yeah.
But it was 13-10 Lewandowski to score in that first game. It's like what? So yeah. So we found Robbie's niche. How often is that? Once every three or four months.
I've been friends with Lee Phelps for 5 years and we're still searching, Derek, for his niche.
Friends?
Acquaintances.
Let's go work, mates.
Let's get stuck into this week. This week's Premier League football. And we start at White Hart Lane, 12:45 p.m. on Saturday. Tottenham 6-4, the draw 11-5 and Liverpool 19-10. Headline offers, Harry Kane to score and Tottenham to win is 4-1. Daniel Sturridge to score and Liverpool to win in the market at 5-1. Derek, there's been an overwhelmingly positive response to the arrival of Jurgen Klopp at Liverpool.
What's this?
He's there now.
Klopp at Liverpool?
He's there.
I've not seen anything. What's the deal?
Yeah, there's only been 40,000 column inches in the papers about Jurgen Klopp.
The deal is 3 years, $7 million a year. Very nice.
Very nice indeed.
It's not bad at all. And Derek, there seems to be no doubt that he's going to succeed. Almost as if the turnaround's going to be instantaneous with Klopp at the helm.
Yeah, it's almost like Shankly all over again, the way he's come in. He's come in at the right time because the mood was very, very low at Liverpool, at Anfield anyway. It remains to be seen what he does, but he certainly did it. He took over Borussia Dortmund, who were in the same kind of state Liverpool are now, and we all know what he did there. So, the signs are good. But the injuries this week, two long-term injuries to Danny Ings and Joe Gomez, won't help. He took over. I said last week, he definitely looks like a U-boat commander, doesn't he, Jurgen Klopp? And when he took over, he wanted three questions answered before he agreed to take over. Name, rank and serial number. He's been there. He's got the right credentials, and I think he'll do really well at Liverpool. Because you look at the squad, it's not a title-winning squad. Mm. But it could be a top-four squad, couldn't it? Definitely.
Tough start though against Spurs, Derek, because Spurs only team not to have lost since the opening weekend, and Pochettino's just collected his Manager of the Month trophy. So difficult opener this one.
Yeah, the signs of improvement, big improvement in Spurs, and there had to be really, because they looked like they were treading water in the early weeks of the season. I mean, Pochettino's got a significant advantage over Klopp in that he's had more time to rid himself of the rubbish his transfer committee have saddled him with. It'll take Klopp a bit of time to weed out the crap. Liverpool's record at Tottenham was poor until the last two seasons. How do you account for this? 5-0 win there and then a 3-0 win there under Brendan Rodgers. I can't see it being the same this time around. I don't think Liverpool are fairly priced at all, to be honest. They're below 2-1 to win at Tottenham, given the form they're in. An awful lot is down to the Klopp effect there. I think they're very poorly priced. I'm tempted to go with Tottenham, but I've got a sneaking fancy here for the draw. 5 of Liverpool's last 6 games have finished 1-1. Tottenham's last 2 games have finished in the draw. I don't see why they shouldn't finish in the draw, and it's the biggest price of the three.
And the draw 11-5 for Derek. If you're looking at that 1-1 draw, that's in the market at 6-1 here with William Hill. Mr. Phelps?
Yeah, I tend to agree that the draw looks the best bet of the three. It's a shame as well, because William Hill, there's another one of these special bets now, Derek. It's called both score, no draw. So you're looking for, obviously, a win for either team, but both teams to score. So in this game, for instance, it's 13-8. It's quite a nice bet if you want to if you don't like the draw. But unfortunately for this one, I'm with you. I think it'll be a little bit of a safety-first approach from Klopp. I mean, Anyone, any football hipsters will know that his time with Borussia Dortmund featured that 4-2-3-1 formation, and the injuries kind of lend itself to that formation as well. With Sturridge as a lone striker, and then you know three behind him, and the two holding midfielders, and then your back four. But I mean, you can't imagine that it's not like he's had all this time, you know, to spend with his players, is it? Like, he's coming as a new boss. He spent more time in Liverpool being pictured with a bevy of beauties, hasn't he? with Stella on the side than he has actually with his players, because they've all been away on international duty. No Benteke, of course. We know about Ings. So Sturridge up top. Look, Sturridge, you know, he's come back and played well. You know, hopefully he's had a bit of time just to kind of, you know, continue his training while everyone else has been away on international duty. That record that Liverpool have got, you know, I do like playing those records when you've got similar players against similar players. I know the managers might be different, but you know, I mean, it's ironic, isn't it, that he's going to be measured against Rodgers' best record, really. I mean, every time he came up against Tottenham, Rodgers, they won, and they won handsomely, as we've said. I think I'm looking at a 1-1 draw. I think Tottenham might take the lead, you know, but I think. You know, I think Klopp will get something out of this team. There's no way the players won't react in the same way that everyone else has reacted, which is kind of with this kind of this glazed over look, like this kind of, you know, superhuman managers come in. I must say, though, I mean, you know, I'm going to dive in with everyone else, and I've watched a few of the interviews. The Liverpool football, the Liverpool TV interview, it's just brilliant. I mean, he is just unbelievably likable, and he's got this kind of like insane laugh. He just laughs at the wrong times, but it's quite endearing, isn't it, the way he laughs? Like, so, you know, I can see why everyone is fawning over him. And one of our colleagues, a guy called Dave Tindall, wrote a piece, and he made the very good point, Derek, that if you put Mourinho and Klopp in a room, no longer is Mourinho the kind of, you know, the special one. I know Klopp called himself the normal one, but and then you open the door and let all the media in, they'd just go straight to Klopp, wouldn't they? No one would want to talk to Mourinho anymore, really. I'm not sure he is yesterday's man, but he's bitter and twisted now, isn't he? And now Klopp's this new guy, this beaming smile. So I'm going to go for the draw. I don't think it'll quite extend to the win, so I'll play the draw the same as Derek, but I'll go for the 1-1 draw as well. The draw are under 2.5 for me.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned this, Grant, but there is a thin dividing line between being hailed a genius and labelled an idiot if you have that sort of inane grin.
Yes.
And you're only three losses from the last end if it goes pear-shaped. So, I mean, he does appear to have charisma, but Jory's still out on that, yeah.
He can easily turn into football's Boris Johnson, can't he?
Yeah.
I was watching those videos this morning of Boris Johnson, not only the latest one where he just steamrollers some young lad playing rugby.
That's fantastic.
What about the... I mean,
the lad deserved it, apparently.
Yeah, he tripped someone up last year playing football. And that tackle, I've forgotten about a tackle in that England-Germany charity game where I think he actually stumbles, to be fair to him, like in a kind of typical Boris Johnson. But he ends up basically... headbutting the guy in the groin cum stomach area. What? This guy is being touted as our next Prime Minister. What?
Unless Sam Allardyce signs him.
On another Liverpool thing, did you see Benitez's replies to Allardyce's book? Have you read those?
No, I haven't seen that.
Allardyce, basically, in his new book that's
coming out, I saw those comments, but I didn't see Benitez replying.
He said basically, what's he ever won? And the article that I read said, well, he obviously doesn't know about the Northern Ireland First Division trophy that he won, and the Second Division in 1987 that he won. It's quite a pointed reply from Benitez, and fair enough.
You're right.
Tottenham 6-4, the draw 11-5, Liverpool 19-10. Both Lee and Derek going with the draw there at 11-5. On to the 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday. This is Watford versus Arsenal. Watford 5-1 to win the game. The draw is 13-5, and Arsenal in the market at 8-13. Lee, Watford 12th in the league, picked up 10 points from their 12 matches. Arsenal trying to close in on Manchester City at the top of the table. The international break probably came at the wrong time for Arsenal, given that fantastic result they had at the Emirates against Manchester United. They would have wanted to have continued that momentum quickly. Mm. Alexis Sanchez in fantastic goal scoring form now as well. One of your favourite players.
Yeah, and you say it came at a bad time, but they've certainly continued the form into the international break. Listen to how their players performed. Cazorla scored twice for Spain. Giroud scored twice for France. Theo Walcott made it 7 goals in his last 9 games when he scored against Estonia. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain also scored in the win over Lithuania. Sanchez continued his fine goal scoring form, scoring in Chile's 2-0 win and then scoring twice in the 4-3 victory over Peru. Ozil set the winner up for Germany in that Georgia game. So, you know, and Aaron Ramsey scored for Wales as well. So, I mean, you know, there were just goals everywhere for Arsenal players. So they'll come back in good spirits. They come up against this Watford team we've talked quite a lot about them. They haven't got many goals in them, but they don't concede many either. You know, the form so far in the Premier League at home shows 0-0 against West Brom, 0-0 against Southampton, 1-0 against Swansea, a win, and they'd lost 1-0 to Palace. Look, none of those teams are in Arsenal's level, in my opinion. I think Arsenal go here and do what they do to teams like Watford. The flat track bullies Arsenal. I think they'll go and bully them, and I think they'll beat them quite handily, to be fair. I mean, they're 8-13, which some people might just like as a standout bet. You know, this Arsenal team, as you say, go into the international break on a high. They come out of it with the players in great form, haven't picked up the injuries that some other teams have picked up. Sanchez is a bit short for me, to be honest with you, at 17-20 as an anytime goal scorer. But when you get the headline offer here, surely it will be Sanchez to score and Arsenal to win, and I'll probably take that at the time. As it is, you know, right now, you can make that bet up. Sanchez to score any time in an Arsenal win is 29-20. I think they'll boost that a bit for you, come the headline offer. But I'll play him to score two or more, to be honest with you. You've always got the super sub thing on your side, and you're getting 4-1 for him to score two or more in a game where I think they'll get three.
Yeah, that's not bad. 4-1, Alexis Sanchez to score two or more. If you're looking for a Watford striker in form, Odion Ighalo has scored Watford's last 5 Premier League goals. Arsenal, Derek, have won the last 5 meetings between the two, 4 of those in the Premier League. This is a game where if Arsenal are going to contend for the title this season, they've got to go there and win.
Well, yeah, and an awful lot of punters will back them, even at 8-13, because they'll remember what happened when they went to a similar team, you could argue. Leicester a few weeks ago, and they won 5-2 there, didn't they? So, you know, people would think 8-13 is buying money. I would caution them, though, because the last 6 matches, Arsenal have lost 3 of them. They've just come back from an international break. Oh, okay, their players were in good form, as Lee has spelled out. But they've also got Bayern Munich next midweek in the Champions League. You know, it's not a great time to be back in Arsenal at 8-13. I don't think there is a good time for that. And this is a particularly bad time. I'm not saying Watford are good things, but I'm prepared to have a go at Watford on the handicap with a goal start at 13-10. As Lee says, you know, this isn't it's not a statistical blip now, Watford not conceding any goals. I mean, that's the way they're set up, particularly at home. They've only conceded 1 goal at home in 5. Is it 4 or 5 matches?
Yeah, 4 matches.
Yeah, it's, you know, and you're back in Arsenal at 8-13 at the wrong. No, I can't have it. I'm going to go for Watford with a goal start here.
Watford plus 1-13-10.
Best defence in the Premier League, you know, alongside a few other teams. Palace, Man City, Tottenham, Arsenal and Watford have all conceded just 7 goals. So, yeah, I mean, you know, like you say, it's not a blip. And they've got the best defence with Man City in the league at home. Just 1 goal conceded. So, you know, they look like the kind of Southampton of last season. Whether they'll be able to continue that right through the season is obviously another matter. But
just to play devil's advocate there as well, they've only scored 1 at home. So it's not like they're winning every game at home.
No.
And they're grinding out results. Watford plus 1 for Derek at 13-10. And Lee going with Alexis Sanchez to score 2 or more, which is in the market at 4-1.
If you want to play that super sub idea, you know, obviously that's where, you know, if Sanchez scores 1, comes off, but his replacement with Bayern Munich in mind scores and you get 4-1. The hat trick is 25-1. And that's also a super sub. So if you got 2 and his sub came on and scored himself, you'd still get paid out 25-1 on a Sanchez hat trick.
On to Newcastle versus Norwich next. This is 4 p.m. on Sunday. Newcastle 13-8 to win the match. The draw 21-10, and Norwich in the market at 9-5. Alexander Mitrovic to score and Newcastle to win is 5-1. Cameron Jerome to score and Norwich to win also in the market at 5-1. The pressure mounting, Derek, on Steve McLaren at Newcastle. They've only picked up 3 points from 8 games in the Premier League. And a couple of weeks ago, capitulated in spectacular fashion against Manchester City, getting beaten 6-1. Next 5 games, including this one, Sunderland away, Stoke at home, Bournemouth away, Leicester at home, and of course Norwich at the weekend. They need a couple of wins here, Derek, in those next 5 at least.
Yeah, and I just don't see how they're going to get them. I mean, you know, and they've also lost their keeper now, Tim Krul, who McLaren was saying is worth, 15, 20 points a season to them. Well, then on current form, they ain't going to get that many points. I mean, three points from 8 games. You pan that out of the season, it's 15 points they'll end up with. And, you know, you'd say, well, obviously they're going to get better than that. But I don't see the evidence that they're going to get better than that. There was 45 minutes against Chelsea when you thought, yeah, maybe, you know, maybe we've written them off far too early. But then they come and bounce back don't bounce back against Man City and get pulverised. I think this is an awful Newcastle side. I just don't see anything there. And I'll tell you what, they're there for the taking. And Norwich, OK, it was a bad result for them last time out at home to Leicester, but Leicester are doing that to sort of more than, you know, sides other than Norwich at the moment. A couple of other decent results in recent weeks for the Canaries. A 3-1 win over Bournemouth, of course. 3-0 win over West Brom in the Cup. 2-2 at West Ham away, wasn't it, you know, wasn't a bad result for them. I think they're a better side than Newcastle, and I think they'll prove it. The good bet the Canaries here, just under 2-1.
Norwich at 9-5 for Derek. Derek mentioned that 45 minutes against Chelsea. They also played well for 45 minutes against City. Played well in that first half before being annihilated in the second half. Goes deeper than just Steve McLaren being at the helm, though. They've only got one win in their last 19 Premier League games, stretching back to the back end of last season. They've lost 7 points from winning positions as well this season. So whatever he's saying once they're ahead or once they've got a point on the board isn't working at the moment.
No, it's a strange one. Do you know what? I mean, this is going to sound daft given the result if you look back at it. But that first half against City, they did show signs of life. That you texted, didn't you, saying what did he say at half time? They just got overrun by a rampant Sergio Aguero. Manchester City is what happened. The first half performances are much better, and I see something similar happening here. You know, Norwich are a team who don't lie down. They're a good side, Norwich, who don't know when they're beaten. You saw them come back from behind against Liverpool. They led against West Ham, but then had to come back from 2-1 down to get an 83rd minute lead. They themselves in the end succumbed to a stoppage time equaliser against West Ham. But I think Norwich would be more than happy throughout the season coming back from behind, grabbing draws away at places where they might not have been fancied to. And if they just keep picking up points away from home, maybe the odd win, they'll be more than happy. I don't think they'll go for the win. I think Newcastle would also be more than happy with a point. They want the win, but I think both will settle for it. I think that's what we'll find. One bet I do like, I mean, the draw is fine at 21-10, don't get me wrong, but one bet I do like is a little bit of a play on what I've just said, is Newcastle to lead at half time and then the draw at full time. That's 14-1.
Yeah.
I mean, I can see that happening, you know, yeah, given what we've said about big, that actually. Seems a massive price to me price, yeah. For that to happen. Look, you know, it's the safer way of doing that is going to the old favourite, you know, the kind of, you know, come from behind and draw, which is right down. We haven't played that for a while, have we? And that's in the other markets section at the bottom of the page. So to come from behind and draw is 15-2 for Norwich. Obviously, you don't need it to be half time. And from to come from behind and win or draw is 9-2 for Norwich. You know, safety
given
first.
Given those stats about Newcastle that I just mentioned, they look logical bets in this in this game.
There are, you know, with the crowd behind them, they come out organs ablaze, but then they can't they can't last it out. The nerves set in the second half. So yeah, play one of those, but you know, the draw is the safest option for me.
21-10 for the draw in that game. Also 21-10 for the draw in Swansea versus Stoke, which is 8 p.m. kickoff on Monday evening. Swansea 21-20. The draw is in the betting at 21-10, and Stoke in the market at 3-1. Headline offers here: Bafétimbi Gomis to score and Swansea to win 3-1. If you fancy Jonathan Walters to score and Stoke to win, that's in the betting at 9-1. Lee, Swansea started the season strongly, but it's not been plain sailing subsequently. In fact, they've only won 2 of their last 10 in the league, and that win against Manchester United back in August was their last win in the Premier League. Mark Hughes and Stoke needed something positive to happen, and it has. They've managed to grind out results, back-to-back wins against Bournemouth and away at Aston Villa. Stoke haven't won back-to-back successive Premier League games away in the league since December 2011, which is astonishing for a club of their stature. What do you make to this one, Swansea Stoke?
Yeah, it is a strange start. But then again, I suppose you look at it deeply and you think, well, they've never been that good an away team. It's always been built around their form at the Britannia, hasn't it? Their consistent survival in the Premier League. It's never been like, oh yeah, we'll back Stoke away from home. And I think sometimes that, you know, when you look at the prices for Stoke, 3-1 at Swansea, you think on Derek's Bible, that would be a bet, you know, because they're a good enough team to go away and win. I just don't know if they can break Swansea down. We're Stoke at the best when teams come onto them and they can try and hit them on the break. I don't know if Swansea will do that. And I know you mentioned that the form's drifted a little bit, but look at the home form. They've played Man United, Everton and Tottenham. 2-1 win, 0-0 draw and a 2-2 draw. There's not much to be upset about there, is there?
Yeah.
They've got Arsenal at home after this game, after the Stoke game, and then it starts to get a little easier for them. Yeah, I'm not sure I can trust Stoke at 3-1. I should be able to, though. I think that's the worry about Stoke. I don't quite trust them. Look, I'd play Stoke on a draw no bet, I think, because I think they're the sort of team who can sting Swansea if Swansea aren't quite at it. They haven't had too many players, you know, away either of these on international duty. Ashley Williams and Neil Taylor, obviously, were buoyant. They both featured for Wales, qualifying for Euro 2016. Gylfi Sigurdsson scored for them. Jefferson Montero has been away in South and Central America in their qualifiers for the World Cup.
His inclusion this weekend is huge for Swansea, yeah, because first month of the season he looked like a world beater.
He did, yeah. More of a worry for Stoke, I guess, is that Shay Given's another injury, another keeper who's picked up an injury. Shaqiri limped out of Switzerland's training session against St Marino. He did play against Estonia, though. Arnautovic scored a cracker, actually, by the way. If you check that out, when he scored for Austria in that win over Montenegro. I'm going to go for the draw here. It's a bit of a wimp's way out, I suppose. But I think you know, Stoke will be pretty happy with the draw. They got a 3-3 draw here. There was a 1-1 draw at Stoke in this fixture as well the season before last. So I'll play that. You know, I could see maybe the 13-8 on Stoke draw no bet is all right, but I'll play the draw and be boring, sit on the fence.
You should hang your head in shame. Because what you have here is the bet of the season.
Not the bet of all time.
I've no idea what it is, but no.
Somewhere.
Stoke at 3-1. Yeah. Oh my God! I mean, hyperboles fail me. Liverpool are 2-1 to win at Tottenham. Stoke at 3-1 to win at Swansea. Are you telling me Liverpool are more likely to beat Tottenham than Stoke are to beat Swansea?
No,
they're not. And I'm not saying that Stoke will win. I'm just saying that at 3-1, they have to be backed. Yesterday, there was, I don't know if you watched Deal or No Deal, yesterday there was a pensioner.
Is that still on, Derek?
Yeah, it's still on. There was a pensioner on. She was down to the last two boxes. One had 50 pence in, the other had £250,000 in. You know, the dream dilemma. The banker comes on and offers her 64 grand, you know, not to swap. She had to swap. I was trying to give her the mathematics. You know, she was getting 3-1 for an even money poke. Now, you wouldn't, but I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't have the balls to do that. But I was explaining them the concept of value, and this is value with a capital everything. It really is. I mean, Stoke won the last away game at Aston Villa. Before that, they won in the League Cup as well to Fulham away from home. And Swansea have just they've hit the wall eight matches into the season. They can't get a win for love nor money. I cannot understand why they're so short and Stoke is so long. And if Stoke, all right, I'm not saying that Stoke will go there and win. You know, I'm backing them to do so because the odds imply. But I'll be mightily surprised if they don't give you a real run for your money here. Because this, you know, you're getting a 3-1 poke here with a very, very big chance of winning. And that's what you want in betting any day of the week. It's just, you don't even ask me. Don't insult me at the end of this bulletin by asking me my bet of the week. There it is now. Stoke at 3-1.
Stoke 3-1 to win the game. They're drawing the market at 21-10. Is better the season more or less confident than better of the century, Derek?
It's better than Millennium.
Was it Stoke? You said that was my blind spot.
Yes, yeah, it is. It is, yeah. Mind you, Swansea are my blind spot, so here we go.
But you're right, though, Derek. I listened back to the podcast, and when you said that, I thought, yeah, I cannot call Stoke right. And I should be confident enough just to go, what Derek's done, 3-1, bang. But there's something about Stoke that annoys me.
Mm. On to the non-televised games this weekend, and we'll start with Man City versus Bournemouth. Man City 4-11 to win this game. The draw 19-5, Bournemouth in the betting at 15-2. I think before the international break, Derek, City would have really been looking forward to this match, but They lost Sergio Aguero, and David Silva suffered an injury as well while on duty with Spain. I think they'll both be out for this weekend, and Aguero could be out until mid-November. Yaya Toure also missed that last game against Newcastle. Not sure whether he'll be back or not. So Man City should be able to thump Bournemouth, but those injuries are a little bit of a concern now.
Well, it'd be a concern if they were playing an Arsenal or a Man United or maybe even a Stoke or something. But come on, 4-11 Man City to beat Bournemouth at home, and it's not in the League Cup match when they're going to put second stringers in or whatever. I mean, it's a gift. It is a gift. Those players you mentioned might be out, but the quality of the people they bring in, they're much better than Bournemouth's quality. And I think, I've got a feeling Liverpool was something like 4-11 against Bournemouth one Monday night earlier in the season.
Maybe. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, and we see what Liverpool's limitations are. The City don't have those. I think it's a gift. The only slight reservation, of course, is it's back from International Week and they've got, a Champions League game in midweek. But come on, this is a buy, isn't it? Man City at home to Bournemouth, 4-11. Just incidentally, by the way, what would you have done in that deal or no deal if you were the pensioner? What would you have done? Would you have gone for the 64 grand or go for the 250 grand?
Yeah, I understand that it depends how much the cash means to you, I think, Derek, doesn't it? I mean, I understand your concept of value there, but if someone's... Do you want to bet 64 grand against 50p on a coin flip?
Well, exactly. But yeah, exactly. That's who's got the balls to do it? Well, yeah. The woman did it, and she got 250 grand.
Yeah. Oh, well, fair play.
I'd have gone for the 250.
Yeah, you would have done. Yeah, of course.
I don't need 64 grand though. So much.
Anyway, back to Man City.
Yeah, they don't need 64 grand either, to be fair.
None of these players do, and I agree with Derek. I mean,
it was a $64,000 question. Hey. Oh, how did I miss that one?
Ah, beauty. I don't even know how that works, that program. How does it work? How many boxes did she have left?
Two.
Two boxes, yeah. 50p or 250 grand.
All right, I see.
And a banker comes in and says, "Well, I'll take the division away from you. I'll give you 64 grand now if you want to."
Terrible cash in that.
Leah Tate the 64 grand, Derek. Terrible. If I know one thing about Leah Tate, it's the 64 grand every single time. I can't believe Bournemouth are only 15-2 to win this game.
Exactly.
It does seem shortly.
I don't understand it. I just honestly don't understand it. It's like Sergio Aguero not being there means that City haven't got anyone who can come in. Now look, they might not thump Bournemouth the way they smashed Newcastle to bits, but they will, they'll win. surely they'll win. One thing that I have, we have discovered about Man City is that the manager seems to need to get them in at half time to give them a bit of a talking to remind them that he doesn't want them to be as lackadaisical as they were in the first 45 minutes. We did see against Watford that time. We saw it against Newcastle again, where they were shoddy at times. And let's be fair, they could have been three down to Newcastle if Newcastle were anything like a decent side. I think Bournemouth might be able to keep it tight. I just don't think they can keep it tight until half time. I don't think they can last that long. But what I would like to look at is second half goals for City. You'll have to wait and see that as an in-play price, because at the minute you can only really back them to score goals in the first half, i.e. over 1.5s. So you maybe look at the second half total Man City goals. That might be worth a look. Now the first time of the first goal, 31st minute and over, 13-10. I was having a look at that. Price isn't fantastic.
No, it isn't.
City scored three against Chelsea, didn't score until after the 30th minute. Scored two against Watford, scored in the second half. Didn't score the first goal against West Ham until the 45th minute, same against Newcastle. 42 and onwards, they scored all their goals. And we look at Bournemouth, the goals that they've conceded, and they have conceded a few, by the way. They conceded three at West Ham, 48th minute and on. Conceded three at Norwich, 35th minute and on, and conceded two against Stoke, 32nd minute and later. So that it fits perfectly. It's 100% record for that 13-10 to land. So I'll play it because it's statistically 100% right. But it's not the greatest price in the world. I think Man City will probably win it by three goals, to be fair. So
just picking on what you've been saying as well, if you look in the goals market and scroll down to the bottom, Man City highest scoring half to be the second half, 11-10.
Oh, that looks a decent bet.
Shared of odds against.
Yeah.
Given what you, how they've played recently.
Yeah. I'll play a 13 to 10, bigger price.
West Brom versus Sunderland is next, Saturday 3 p.m. West Brom 11 to 10, the draw 2 to 1, and Sunderland are 3 to 1. Headline offers: Saido Berahino to score and West Brom to win is 3 to 1. Jermaine Defoe to score and Sunderland to win is 8 to 1. If ever, Lee, there was an anti-football matchup, it's this one, isn't it? Pulis against Allardyce. This could be nil-nil, this one.
Yeah, I mean, look, it shows the predicament that Sunderland are in, that they're all cock-a-hoop about the fact that Sam Allardyce is coming. But, you know, he'll keep them up, won't he? He'll do what he always does and he'll keep them up, and it'll be a pragmatic way of playing and he'll get the job done. Fair enough. Absolutely fair enough. You know, you say about West Brom, you know, Pulis said problem. I mean, it's like they know exactly what they are away from home, but he can't quite figure out what they are at home. You know, they've conceded three against City. Look, no shame in that. Conceded three against Chelsea, again, a very good attacking team. And they conceded three against Everton. In between there was that 0-0 draw against Southampton, which was a bit more Pulis-like. But it's like he's trying to open up a bit more against these teams and not really getting away with it. 9 goals conceded in 4 games isn't Pulis-like at all. Look, you imagine that Sunderland will go here and it'll be defence first. So you would be tempted to think it'll be a low scorer, but I'm not so sure. I think he will have a bit of a go. You don't change that overnight, do you? So I think they'll go out and try and score goals against Sunderland, and you know they need to win this game against Sunderland. Let's not forget. You know, look at the league table at the moment. You know, Sunderland, their second bottom, West Brom, you know, they're 5 points better off, but they're only in 17th. You know, so he needs to get points here. And, you know, you think this is a relegation 6-pointer already, I would say. I'm going to play goals, though. The under 2.5 is 4-7. The over 2.5, 13-10. Given what we've seen, I don't think Allardyce will get them sorted out in one, you know, having been with them for a few days in an international break. I think West Brom will have a go. So over 2.5 for me. I think it's a nice price, that one.
If you do fancy Sunderland to stay up on the back of Sam Allardyce's tenure as manager, 11-4 here with the William Hill, Sunderland to survive, and that's the outsider of the lot. 11-4 Sunderland.
I think that's quite a
survive.
Big price given his record and given how much of the season we've got left.
Okay, Derek, do you see goals in this game?
You are kidding, aren't you?
I was thinking that when Lee was talking about it.
It's the only Premier League match in history where a ball is optional. I mean, it's just who would pay good money? Who would pay bad money to watch this? You know exactly what we're going to get. Almost certainly a 0-0. In fact, I don't think there'll be that many goals in it. I mean, Big Sam's main talent is keeping up, but he would have to defy gravity to keep Sunderland up, because he's inherited a shocking squad. I mean, you know, this is the side that's making Jermaine Defoe look, you know, like he's never played football. I mean, the first big task for Allardyce is to get a reaction from Defoe. The first big task for Sunderland players is to get a pass from him. I've never known a greedier sod than him. He's absolutely so awful. I just can't have it. I couldn't back either side to win this, because I don't think there'll be a chance in the game. I've never been more confident that a match will finish 0-0. So why go for anything else?
15-2, 4-0-0. Lee going over 2.5 goals at 13-10 out. Yeah. I'll be looking forward to that one on Saturday.
That'd be my nap.
Yeah. Southampton versus Leicester is up next. 4-5 Southampton. The draw 9-4 and Leicester 4-1. Headline offers here: a Graziano Pella to score and Southampton to win is 5-2. Jamie Vardy to score and Leicester to win 8-1. Derek, two sides here that are going reasonably well. Leicester recovered quickly from their 5-2 defeat at home against Arsenal. They beat Norwich 2-1 at Carrow Road. While Southampton come into this game on the back of 3-1 wins at home to Swansea and away at Chelsea. So both sides going reasonably well at the moment.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, going to the head time, you'd say Southampton would probably win. But, you know, I've been a critic of theirs for 2 seasons. I always think they're underpriced, and they're criminally underpriced here at 4-5. Let's not forget that, you know, though I've been saying Leicester will come the hurdle down the table, at the moment, you know, they're comfortably above Southampton and the 4-1 to win there. And you know, everyone goes on about Leicester, you know, the crowd gets behind them at, you know, where is it? What's their stadium? It's called the Walker Stadium. But they've got a better record away from home at the moment. 2 wins and 2 draws from 4 matches. They're not making any mistakes on the road. And the 4-1 to win at Southampton. See, the Leicester bubble is going to burst. But I've been saying that for like 4 weeks now, and it hasn't. It's only that one reverse against went against Arsenal when they looked like what they were, you know, a lower half of the table team. I'm going to go for them a 4-1 here because though these prices are wrong. They are wrong. Southampton should not be odds on to beat a Leicester side given the form the Foxes are in.
Now Derek's gone for them. The inevitability of that bubble bursting this weekend.
Exactly. Exactly.
If you're looking, by the way, we've got that new coupon that Lee mentioned earlier, the both score no draw coupon. Yes, it's 13-8 in this game. Both teams have scored in all Leicester's eight games this season in the Premier League.
Yeah, they haven't.
Which is an interesting one if you're not convinced by either side, but you think both teams will score, could be a good weigh-in this match at 13-8.
Yeah, and actually, when you look at Southampton, only two of their home games have featured both teams scoring, they did beat Norwich, who were down to 10 men for an hour. And they lost 3-0 to Everton, didn't they? When they had chances themselves, Southampton, they had a lot of shots on goal that game. Lost 3-2 to Man United at home, then beat Swansea 3-1. I've just been looking here. I mean, Pelle scored in the international break for his national side. He's obviously been in good form and loves a home goal, doesn't he, as we know?
Yes.
Vardy didn't score for England, but got his cap there, came on, set a goal up, and obviously he's the top scorer in the Premier League. He's scoring for fun at the moment, isn't he, in consecutive games. Just looking there for the goal scorers doubled, Pelle and Vardy to score, and there it is, 9-2. I like that. In a game that I think there will be goals, I agree with you. I think it'll be quite an open game. You know, as much as that bubble bursting will happen, and I've been guilty of thinking it'll happen sooner rather than later. All right, we managed to get them beat by Arsenal, and that, you know, Arsenal to win and both teams to score. But he wants a clean sheet, doesn't he, the manager? And it doesn't look like any time likely that they're going to get one. I think Southampton are pretty buoyant at the minute. So, yeah I could see something like a 3-1 or maybe even a 3-2 win to Southampton. So, plenty of goals. And I like that Pelle to score and Vardy to score in the game. I mean, you know, looking at someone who's as in form as Vardy, I wouldn't put anyone off having a look at him at 9-5 to score here. You know, and I know that's not the most attractive price in the world for an anytime goal scorer, but given the way these players are priced up these days, I think it's decent enough value for someone who's in form and will get chances.
Can't leave the match without mentioning Sadio Mane as well. He's 29-20.
He's your main man.
I think he's fantastic.
Mane man.
let's move on to Chelsea versus.
Is that quantifier mentioned now? So then you can go, I mentioned him.
Yeah, that's it now. So I can claim it.
I love that. That is the modern day version. That's a great way of after time, isn't it?
It is a fantastic way of after time.
We gave him a mention.
Chelsea versus Aston Villa next. Chelsea 4-11. The draw 19-5. Aston Villa 15-2. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win is 7-4. Rudi Gestede to score and Aston Villa to win is in the betting at 16-1. First things first, Lee. Jose Mourinho never lost successive home league games as a manager at any club. However, they haven't looked as abject as they have recently, ever, Chelsea. Against Newcastle and Southampton, very poor. And there's a question whether Mourinho has lost the dressing room now as well. Seems to have been very critical of his players recently. You mentioned him being bitter and twisted, Lee. It's an intriguing game, this one. Chelsea are short at 4-11. Same price as Man City are to beat Bournemouth, which doesn't seem right.
Yeah, strange team, aren't they, at the moment? I mean, I say, like, bitter and twisted, Derek. One of the things I miss most about the 80s and 90s is spitting image. And I think Mourinho would be an amazing puppet for spitting image at the moment. You know, it's one of those kind of characters who you would have seen his spitting image puppet change over the years, you know, from that special one when he came in and he was bronzed, and, you know, now he does give that image of being just, I mean, that 7-minute rant, we've already talked about it, amazing, you know, just incredible to get through that. Now he's been fine, hasn't he? And now he's on Football Focus on Saturday and he's going to be talking about how can you push someone in the technical area and not get that bigger, which is, I think, a direct, you know, linked to Wenger doing that to him. You know, he's just, you know, he just won't let go. He's like a dog with a bone, isn't he? And you wonder, don't you, where this Chelsea team is. We said before the international break, all he needed was a 10-day spell with his team on the training pitch. Didn't get any of that because they've all been away on international duty and some of them have come back injured. It might help him that Ivanovic is now, he pulled his hamstring. He's a major doubt here. Matic limped off in Serbia's match with Albania, did play against Portugal and was sent off in that 2-1 defeat. So, you know, not great. Cahill didn't play in the second game against Lithuania. Hazard scored a penalty but also missed one. Fabregas missed a penalty for Spain. That's his fourth spot kick he's missed in a row for Spain, Fabregas. So no one's really got a good feeling. Willian did score, though, for Brazil. So, you know, no one's coming back into it.
He's it's the like, only one, isn't he, Willian? Because he scored that Thunderbolt.
Yeah, he seems to
well.
Be playing quite well. It's very difficult to back Chelsea here, isn't it, at short prices, even though they should beat Villa, because Villa, I mean, what is he doing there? He must have been delighted to see all the kind of other managers go, just to take a bit of heat off him. But now he's in the firing line, isn't he, Sherwood at Villa? Because
he's into even money, by the way. He was 6-1. 10 days ago to be the next manager to leave. He's into evens.
You know, we've seen time and time again, haven't we, in the Premier League, when the dominoes start falling, other chairmen and owners go, do you know what? Why am I keeping hold of my man? I'm running out of time here. I need to get someone as well. That solitary win against Birmingham in the League Cup, you know, in the last six. I mean, even the Notts County game in the League Cup wasn't a win because they had to do it in extra time. It wasn't a 90-minute win. So they've got a shocking record at the moment. They have to lose this game. There's no way, surely, they can go to Chelsea and get a win. It's just whether they can score, because Chelsea are defensively a little bit suspect. I know they didn't concede against Arsenal, but that's the only game. So I think I'm going to take a chance here. Rather than backing Chelsea at 4-11, I'm going to go for Chelsea to win the game, but both teams to score here.
21-10,
that is. It's a big difference for a defence that is struggling at the moment.
Okay, 21-10, Chelsea to win and both teams to score. Even money is Sherwood to be next man out, Derek. Mm. Next five matches, Chelsea away, Swansea home, Southampton away, Tottenham away, Man City at home. If he's got maybe three or four to save his job, he's out, isn't he?
Yeah, he is out. His days are definitely numbered. And that number is a 45 with a giant P in front of it. He's got to go. I mean, four straight defeats in the Premier League, and they're not been playing the league's, you know, leading lights either. Stoke, Liverpool, West Brom, Leicester, lost to all of them, and not really looking like winning either. He's going. And I don't think he'll be mourned that much by Villa fans, because his chief asset seems to be an ability to annoy anyone he comes within half a mile of. And his head is within half a mile of everyone, by the way. I can't have him. And this fixture, funnily enough, has yielded a 7-1 win for Chelsea and an 8-0 win for Chelsea in the last six or seven seasons. But in the middle of that, there was a 3-1 win for Villa. Work that one out. Yeah, Chelsea will win. It highlights what a great bet Man City are against Bournemouth, by the way, that 4-11, that Chelsea are the same price to beat Villa. Because back in Chelsea here, you know, if it doesn't cop, you'll be kicking it. Come around 5 o'clock on Saturday, you'll be thinking, well, I knew they were crap. Why did I back them? But they've got to win this. They cannot not win this. I mean, yeah, the Chelsea fans are questioning Marino, and rightly so. I mean, but they should also be questioning what happens when Diego Costa next gets injured, which statistically should happen any minute now, because he just didn't. It was his failure to bring in another top-line striker that's costing them dear, I think. That and the fact that Eden Hazard is playing about 7 stone below his normal form. So Chelsea will win, but it's a 4-11 poke that might not cop, and I hate backing that. So what I'll do is I'll go for Chelsea on the handicap, because I think, this is the way Marino's been going on this week. He'll be looking absolute clown if Chelsea put in another substandard performance. He's talking like a man who knows, you know, they're on their way back. I'm going to go for a double result here, Chelsea, because I think they'll batter Villa from the off. 17-20, Chelsea.
Yeah, that's fair enough. If you that chance to win and both teams to score, I tell you what, Gestede will give them problems. This guy, we've talked about the stats about him, how many headers he scores. You know, you look at the players who are undoing Chelsea. It's centre forwards. They cannot deal with Terry at the moment. Cannot deal with good centre forwards, mobile centre forwards,
and physical as well.
And Cahill was rinsed by Mane, wasn't he? A couple of times. You know, you look at Mane scoring. Pele scored against them. You look at Gomis and Ayew cutting in off the wing, scored against them. Sacco scored against them for Palace as well. So Gestede, I think, you know, Gestede to score in a Chelsea win is 11-2. I think that's quite a nice bet if you don't just want the 21-10.
Good stuff. On to Everton versus Manchester United, a cracker, Saturday 3 p.m. Everton 11-5, the draw 2-1, Manchester United in the betting at 7-5. Headline offers, Romelu Lukaku to score and Everton to win is 6-1. Anthony Martial to score and Manchester United to win 4-1. Intriguing match this one, Derek. Everton going pretty well at the moment, coming off the back of that 1-1 draw in the Merseyside derby. there was a feeling after that game that they could have gone for the jugular against Liverpool, but they were a little bit passive late on. And Manchester United, of course, have to bounce back from that horrible result at the Emirates.
Well, you're right, basically, about Everton, yeah. Some Everton fans were going mad because they thought Liverpool were there for the taking, and it was hard to argue with them, really. So it was probably not a very good result for Everton, that. But it's a long time since I've watched Everton and thought they were doing much wrong. I think I've been impressed with them recently, very impressed, and I think they're massively overpriced here to be Man United at 11-5. You know what, I actually think Everton will finish above Man United this season, although the league table says at the moment says I'm a clown. You know, I watched that United performance against Arsenal, and it probably flattered Arsenal a little bit because they came out all guns firing. But that defeat was coming for United. They were in a false position. And every time I see them, I'm thinking, how are they getting these results? It was something similar when they were under Fergie, when they kept winning leagues. And I'm thinking, how can they possibly win the league? They're not that good. They're a lot worse than that now. They don't convince me. And they shouldn't be as short as they are to go and win at Everton, where they've got a terrible recent record, by the way. They haven't scored there in the last three seasons.
Yep.
1-0 win for Everton, 2-0 and a 3-0. And I think it'll be another 1-0 for Everton. I think Everton will win this. I actually think they're playing far better than United right now.
Yeah, Everton to win the game at 11-5. Really interesting stat here, Lee, from Opta. Louis van Gaal is still too short of the number of Premier League away wins recorded at Manchester United by David Moyes. Moyes got 10 in 18. Louis van Gaal, 8 in 23. So he's managed 5 games more on the road and got 2 less wins so far. Mm. All Manchester United's best form has come at Old Trafford, and that's how they've had the success.
Yeah, I'm still not... I still don't watch Man United and think, oh, yeah, I know what they are now. I get it now. I just don't... You know, and it's funny, you know, I watched that, and I know Derek would have been... He probably watched it more than once, that Secrets of Success, you know, the Alex Ferguson programme. I'm sure you've watched that a couple of times on playback. But I watched it, and it was just interesting, like, listening to... You know, we all know how successful, obviously, Ferguson was and why he was successful. And it was because he built that team in his own image, and it was Ferguson at the centre of it, and everyone just... And I just don't get that crystal clear feeling of what a Louis van Gaal team is still, and even less so away from home. I mean, they've had a lot of players away on international duty, obviously. Some of them have done really well, some of them not. De Gea was amazing, apparently, for Spain against Ukraine. 10 saves, they reckon he made, and they won it 1-0 Spain. Martial played really well, and Schneiderlin both played for France. I think he set up Giroud's winner. So Fellaini was one of the best players on international duty. Apparently he was fantastic for Belgium. They did only play Israel and Andorra, to be fair, as they sealed top spot in their group. Derek's right about Everton. They're not doing anything wrong, but they're also not really setting the pulse alight. That Chelsea win was... There was no way they deserved a 3-1 win. I mean, Naismith scoring that hat-trick. Scored for Scotland again, by the way, in that win against Gibraltar. God, I'm struggling with this game. I really am. Look, I think both teams will score, but I think we're looking at a draw here. Not the both teams, no score. Both score, no draw. I'm going for both score, yes draw. Is that what they say? It doesn't really work, does it? 3-1.
Just say you're going for the draw.
3-1, both teams to score. And a draw. 3-1.
Both teams to score and a draw at 3-1. And we finish with Crystal Palace versus West Ham. Crystal Palace 21-20 to win the game. The draw 23-10, and West Ham in the market at 11-4. Both these sides have been better away from home in recent times, Lee. Mm-hmm. West Ham unbeaten in 4 on the road. They've not gone 5 Premier League games away from home without defeat since 2009, back in January, where they went 7. What do you mean to this one, Palace, West Ham?
Well, do you remember West Ham went away in that last game, and we said, you know, after those amazing wins that they had at some of the biggest clubs in Premier League football, would they take their eye off the ball slightly? And you know, lo and behold, that, you know, they couldn't quite manage to keep that going, could they? And they went to Sunderland and were pretty poor, really, weren't they, in the end? They came from behind to get a 2-2 draw.
That was a signal of that.
Yeah, it was. Lentz obviously getting sent off for Sunderland as well, so they had a bit of help there. But, you know, they couldn't quite get themselves up in the same way they did at the Emirates, at Anfield and at the Etihad. I think they probably will be up for this because I think Palace will attack them. Palace's home form hasn't been terrible, but they haven't really played anyone. Beat West Brom 2-0, beat Charlton in the League Cup 4-1, did lose to City, of course, in the Premier League by a single goal to nil. You know, beat Villa in the Premier League and lost to Arsenal. I think they'll have a right go here at West Ham, and I think West Ham will come out the better of these two counter-attacking teams. I don't know if I'll steal any of Derek's thunder here, but it's not quite the 3-1. I think 11-4 is too big for West Ham at Palace.
Okay. Yeah, Derek?
Lee is dead right. You know, you can understand Ange Compiles when you look at this fixture because, you see Palace and West Ham, you see Palace riding high in the league, but they know deep down a Palace at home or a team that you want to take on. But they can't really because, you know, it's written in law a team at home should be, you know, miles shorter than they are away from home. But Palace's chances of winning this game are lessened by the fact they're playing at Selhurst Park. And in fact, if you look at the league this season, the Premier League, there's been more away wins than there has been home wins. West Ham 11-4. Given that they've won the grounds they've won on, why shouldn't they go to Palace and win? Mm. I really don't see a reason why they won't. They did it last season, by the way, 3-1. And they'll do it again, I think. I think West Ham are a very good bet here at 11-4.
The Hammers at 11-4 for both Derek and Lee. And that brings us on to the Naps. Best bets this week. Derek,
you know,
start with you. It's Stoke, isn't it?
Stoke 3-1 to win at Swansea.
Stoke at 3-1. Lee, do you need more thinking time or are you set?
No, I'm going to go for that Man City goals bet. The first goal to be, I think it's 31st minute or over at 13-10.
That's 13-10.
So we want no goals there. Up to half an hour. Then I don't care what happens after that.
That's fine. That's 13-10. And I'm going for Southampton to win and both teams to score in that game against Leicester at 5-2. So that makes up the treble. Mm. So we've got Stoke at 3-1. The first goal in the Manchester City-Bournemouth game to be after the 31st minute. And Southampton to win and both teams to score at 5-2. 31.2-1.
It's not often I say this, week. DK, but I like yours. I like yours best, though.
Do you?
Yeah, I do like that. Southampton okay. Win both teams to score.
Derek, thank you for your company.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you, Mr. Fell.
Thank you. Cheers, Derek.
See you, boys.
Thank you to everyone that listened to the podcast this weekend as well. Remember, you can download this via audioboom.com. Just type in William Hill. You can follow myself and Lee and Derek on Twitter at D. Kellner, at Lee Phelps, and at BetLikeAPro. And myself, Lee and Derek will be back next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.